Now, Paul begins this chapter by telling the Corinthians that there are two levels of Christian living. The first one is carnal, second one is spiritual. Paul saw that the Corinthians were carnal. He wanted to correct them, so he penned down this epistle directed to them, wanting them to find out what sort of condition they are in at this time. Now you notice the word carnal appears four times in these four verses. Paul desired them to know the situation of their condition. The two levels of Christian living represent very opposing ways of life. You cannot mix them. One excludes the other. There is no compromise possible between the two. So what was the problem with this church? With the Corinthian church? As Paul had recorded for us, by now they should have been matured Christians. They should have understood all that God has revealed to them in the scripture, in a deep way that their attitude and outlook would be controlled by the Holy Spirit. But instead, they are still operating on the natural philosophy of the world around. And worse, they have brought this thought, this philosophy into the church. Paul felt that all his preaching would be useless if he talked about spiritual things to men who are not spiritual. Paul addressed them as brethren in verse 1, as we have read earlier on. Had one severe fault, and the fault that Paul addressed is they are carnal. Paul seemed to say, I cannot teach you spiritual truth about the spiritual life. You cannot understand. No, take a look at verse 2. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto, up until now, ye were not able, then is when they first accept Christ, and neither you are able now. I do not know how long is it, it could be 10, 20 years. They have no understanding about spiritual things. It is not because they are stupid. The Corinthians are rather gifted. I read a couple of portions to you. You don't have to turn to this. Corinthians 1, 4 to 5. And Paul penned it down. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge. So we are well eloquent and knowledgeable. 2 Corinthians 8:7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us. Listen to this part. Paul says, see that ye abound in this grace also. They are very proud of their gifts. Paul told them that this gift will not profit them unless they have love. They delighted in the gifts and did not concern themselves with the grace of showing love. And what's the point if someone can preach, exhort, and teach, even for me, teachers, speaking this morning, and have no love for the brethren, have no love for the lost? And what is the purpose if you know the word of God from the very first book to the last book, and you don't have love, you do not have charity? What do you think? There's no profit at all. We must choose today which level of Christian living we desire, the level of Christian life we must aim to, the carnal or the spiritual. To understand this teaching, we must know what the carnal state is, and today we want to find out more. We want to find out the reason. Now, many years ago, I was working as a massage therapist. There was this young teenage boy, around 16, who come to me on a regular basis. He needed to be chauffeured by his mom, and when appointment, which is quite often, either weekly or fortnightly, I will always prepare a car space for them, for her to park in my garage. To make her easier, I carried her son onto the massage table. This son, this child of hers, has multiple disabilities. He couldn't walk, he couldn't talk, he needs to be fed, and his muscles are all tense up. You look at him, you feel, you just pity him. His fingers are all clamped up, and I got to use extra strength to give him some relief. Well, I remember her mom told me that he turned 21 some many years ago, and today, very likely, he is in his 30s, very likely, but he could be 30 years old, but his mind, his mentality is still like a child. This was perhaps the way the Apostle Paul felt when he wrote the letter to the Christians in Corinth. Paul, like a loving father, had nursed them painstakingly from the time that they were born again. Paul was giving them the benefit of a doubt. Listen, Paul was giving them the benefit of a doubt because Paul addressed them as brethren, as them, addressed them as babes in Christ. He had delighted in seeing them taking the very first step as a spiritual infant and learning to drink the nourishing milk of God's word. He had such high hope in them, which they would soon grow up as matured Christians and bearing fruits of the Spirit. Because he had many other spiritual children which had grown up quite well, and it is expected for Christians to grow. It is normal for Christians to grow in faith and to know his will. And so do we in Sydney BPC. We long to see those born-again Christians in our midst to grow. What do you think of our current spiritual condition in this church? Think about it. What is the spiritual condition of this church? Have you grown over the years since you accepted Christ as your Lord? Are you constantly chewing on the solid food, the Word of God? Are you still drinking milk? Feasting on them, the solid food, right? Feasting on them day and night. Now, are you strong enough to defend the faith? I hope you all are able to. But unfortunately, this was not the case for the babes in Christ at Corinth. Many of the Corinthians Christians did not grow spiritually as they should. They grow old, just like my client. But not spiritually, not maturely. Two things that Paul used to describe them are, this is my first 2 points, the characteristic of carnality. My second point, the cause of carnality. Now my last point is, let's examine ourselves. Let's begin. The first characteristic of carnality is living a life that is governed by the world. The word carnal, which means fleshly, implies that the Christians in Corinth were ruled and controlled by their fleshly desire. Verse 3. Have a look at verse 3. I'm still at 1 Corinthians 3, verse 3. Tells us they envy one another, were striving with one another, and were divided from one another. This was evidently that this is not just a once-off event, but I believe it had been continued for a long, long time. Carnal here describes a person who gives unrestrained expression to very improper desire and the urge inside him. So a person who is carnal or fleshly very much resemble an animal that follows its basic instincts in order to survive. To survive, animals often have to fight and to struggle with other animals to establish the dominance over their territory and their harem. And helpless creatures accidentally intrude into their territory will have to face off the most unpleasant aggression. Often we heard the phrase, the world is like a jungle. are not like animals in the world we are living in, especially in this church. From the media, we learn much how different kinds of businessmen survive and succeed in the corporate world and classify themselves as different creatures. Some of them are like fox, able to anticipate the unexpected, what his opponents or his business associate, what his next step. He is able to anticipate the unexpected, slip out of danger and outwit its predators. Some are like snakes, two-headed snakes that can tell something to you and tell something to another person, and hopefully you and him cannot get together and he profit from both sides. Many of them are like this. My dad was a very benevolent boss. He is very kind to all his employees. I know this from the testimonies of his former employees. But I have no idea what his tactics were in his business with his competitors, his associates. But I know that he had one major issue. He got an issue with the Inland Revenue of Singapore and was on the blacklist. And he spent a lot of time, money, just to get out of it. I do not know how, but he managed to. But it is pretty normal for a natural man to cheat on tax. But it's not expected for someone who is truly born again to cheat on tax. The more they cheat, the wealthier they get. World will say that my dad was not a believer then, so the law of the jungle is part of his life. He will cheat. He did cheat. So, in other words, if you are part of the jungle, the fittest shall survive. This can be expected within the commercial world because, after all, it is dominated by the majority who are unsafe. And their goal in life is to earn more and more and more money so that they can buy cars, Rolex watches, the next Rolex watches, and the next Rolex watches. But in this passage, it is found within the church. The Corinthian church resembles a jungle. The Corinthian Christians who are carnal display an awful, degenerate conduct. They were like that of animals. Another church which exhibit the same kind of behavior was the Galatian church. Keep your finger in 1 Corinthians, but turn to Galatians 5:15. I'd like to refer a couple of verses to you here. Galatians 5:15. This is another church that exhibit the behavior similar to the Corinthian church. In Galatians 5:15, I read this to you. Paul wrote, But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Evidently, the law of the jungle reign here as well. Paul also described this behavior as that which comes from the flesh. He even provides a list of the works of the flesh, which is listed in verse 19 to 21 in the same chapter, Galatians 5. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresy, envyings, murder, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, and I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Paul told this church not once, but I believe oftentimes. Many a times they reminded them These are the works of the flesh listed in verse 19 to 21. Now, what's the remedy? Now, we know all these things. The remedy is found in verse 16. The remedy that is given to the Galatians to counteract the works of the flesh is to walk in the Spirit, that ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And this is the only remedy. The Holy Spirit dwells within every true believer. And our responsibility is to keep in step with Him. Please do not go ahead of Him. By submitting to the Spirit, walking in His will. Walking in the Spirit also enables us to produce the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Now, every born-again Christian must therefore become more and more consistent in walking in the Spirit, if he is to grow out of carnality and to grow spiritually. This process of growing into spiritual maturity is known as sanctification. In 1 Thessalonians 4:3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. This is clearly God's will for you, for me. How much have you grown out of carnality? Have there been a decrease in the work of the flesh in your life? A desire to stop all acts that you know that are sinful? So that you may not grieve the Holy Spirit. So that you don't quench the Holy Spirit. If the answer is yes, if you are doing all this, then there must be an increase in the fruit of the Spirit. I jump forward a bit. Examine yourself, is there fruit in your life for Lord Jesus Christ? If this has not been the case for you, you may be like the Corinthian babes in Christ who remain carnal, and this means that you are still, I put it in a very blunt way, abnormally immature. The second characteristic of carnality is abnormal immaturity. This truth is brought out by the term that Paul used to describe the Corinthians, the term babes in Christ. Many years have passed, but they still, I classify them as spiritual babes. They still need to drink milk and could not digest any solid, meaty food as yet. Now someone may ask, hey, what is wrong about not growing up? What is wrong about not growing up and being a babe in Christ? A babe does not have any cares in the world. I do not have any responsible for anything or anyone. A babe in Christ, so many people want to carry, especially if the babe is attractive or likable. Why do I want to grow up? If I'm hungry, I just cry and people will feed me with all the things I want. In the world of fantasy, there's a famous character by the name of Peter Pan. Peter Pan was a boy who refused to grow up and enjoy his perpetual childhood with many fantastic adventures. And perhaps some of us may also wish that we may be like Peter Pan, not to grow up and not to have to grow up because we do not want to shoulder all the responsibilities that maturity brings. But let me tell you something. This is only true. In reality, when a child refuses to grow, he suffers in life tremendously because he becomes a burden and causes others to suffer as well. Do you know the heartache being told by the doctor that your 30-year-old son has the mentality of not even a child, of a babe, 2 years old. And the burden is that the parents got to look after get married and have a family. No. These things stop there because he will be burdened to the family. Christians who remain as a babe in Christ, this is the same thing, will require other Christians to constantly nurture them, pray for them, watch out for them, worry for them, and wonder when they will ever grow up. Have you ever had the tedious task of taking care of a big group of toddlers all by yourself? If you have, sleep maybe, then we will have to handle a few times. One child push another down, and another starts crying. And while you are tempering the crying ones, the naughty one comes up and punch another one. Well, small kids, they do punch, all right? I have seen young people, they punch their sisters, and the sisters, worse still, they punch their brothers, the elder brother. So, and while trying to help them, but one of the child fall down and trip, worse still, the next child comes up, throw everything that he had eaten this morning, and mess up the whole place. It can be quite a headache if you were to look after the faith. Even a greater headache if you are the only spiritual mature Christian in the church and the rest of it are in faith. This was the situation with the church in Corinth, because the members there are mostly babes in Christ. But this church gives Paul the most problem of all the churches that he ministered to. Paul had written many letters to the Corinthians, but only two was recorded for us. He had also made visits to them. He sent Timothy to try to sort out problems and issues of the church, but have no result. And eventually Titus was sent, and there was some result. Things got better. Thus we see what tremendous difficulties arise when Christians fail to grow normally as they should. Abnormal, immature faith in Christ are a great burden to others. And I hope we may not be burdened. One of the constant fears that immaturity brings is the fear that they will easily deceive the advantage of evil men. Sometimes you hear of children who are robbed, who are abused, molested, even kidnapped, because they put their trust too easily in strangers. This is a fact of life. We are living in a very evil world. You think the world is good outside? No. It is not. Well, the spiritual world is not spared. The church is not spared. And the church world also has its danger. It is filled with all kinds of false teachers and false teachings, wrong teachings that are misleading and deceiving. And who are the most susceptible to be victimized by them? You know the answer. The faith. Ephesians 4:14 tells us that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sledge of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. This is one of the strongest reasons that why we should seek to grow in Christ, because the time that we are living in demands it. We are living in the end of the end times, and there are so many subtle deceptions around us today, more than in any time in the church history. This is an age that calls for spiritual discernment, one of the most needed qualities for living in the last day, and Christians today simply cannot afford to remain as babes in Christ, because the consequences are devastating. Now, coming to my third characteristic, self-centeredness. Thus, so far we have heard two. The first one is dead. The first one is carnal anymore. The second one is dead in Christ. Now look at the end of verse 3. He mentioned of 1 Corinthians 3, verse 3, right? That they walk as men. Now this phrase is literally translated walking according to men. It means that the immature Corinthian Christians were thinking and acting in a very human manner. Man here is not in a good sense. Man here is not when in the beginning when God made man, it was very good. Man here is in his fallen state, all rebellion against God. Man who is self-centered, self-reliant, self-promoting, self-asserting. Humanism is a system of thought that is based on the values, the characteristics, and behavior that are believed to be best for human beings, but rather than God's authority. It became a very dominant thinking, and it reigns outside the world. How can God be glorified when believers keep on emphasizing self, insisting on their rightful privilege, and priding themselves in their achievements and accolades? In verse 4 of our text, the humanistic spirit of the Corinthians is very evident. Some of them say, "I am of Paul," and the other fraction say, "I am of Apollos." What are they trying to say? The underlying motive here that it was to claim to be better than the others. I am better than you because I am of Apollos. Because Apollos is a better preacher than Paul. Then the other section will say, no, I am better. I am of Paul because Paul is an apostle. Apollos is not. And the fight goes on. They are divided. Take a look at the last part of 3. After strife and division, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Verse 4. Are ye not carnal? Do you think that Paul is asking these people, hey, are you carnal? No, Paul is not asking this question. Paul is stating a statement to these people that they are carnal. Period. I hope you can see the carnality of this spiritually immature man. It is understandable that such things should happen in the world, because man in his unsafe, fallen state is naturally self-centered being. But such things should not be found among God's people. Our life ought to be God-centered and not man-centered. His glory should be the ultimate aim of everything that we do and not do. If the Corinthians Christians were really God-centered, they would no longer be saying, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos. But they would focus instead on the God whom Paul and Apollos serve. And they would see themselves as being nothing more than unworthy servant, laboring together with Apollos and Paul. Paul brought this out of this God-centered thought by writing in verses 5 to 7, which I read to you in the same chapter. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but minister by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that gave the increase. We must always remember this. We must always work together for his glory. We must have this kind of thought and attitude that control our life. We ought to live every moment of our life to glorify God and not to glorify self. And if we are not doing it, then obviously something is wrong. If we remain the way we are and we don't do anything for the Lord, we don't serve, we don't come to Him in worship, then something is wrong. We need to rectify this situation. We need to examine the cause of our carnality. Why have we not grown? Coming to my second point. Well, I promise you the second point, the last point will be shorter than the first point. Let's talk about the causes of carnality, which is my second point. One possible cause of spiritual carnality is spiritual stagnation, that we show it by neglecting our responsibility to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus, which we are commanded to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. To Him be glory and both now and forever. It is a commandment written in 2 Peter 3:18. Sometimes Christians stop growing because they feel tired of keeping up with the spiritual effort that they put in. Sometimes they feel that, so much things to do. I got to come to church on a Sunday, then I got to go for AF, then I got to go for Friday prayer meeting, and worse still, there is agape stuff to go. And so they feel very, very tired, and they want to take a break. They want to take a break from all these things, and it is written in Proverbs 6, 10, and 11, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. It can be actually very disastrous for anyone to be in a state of spiritual stagnation. You know that stagnant water breeds mosquito. It causes dengue fever and is deadly. Well, what do you think a stagnant spiritual life would bring? It will breed a backslidden state. The Christian will not stay down there if he is stagnant. Doesn't mean the Christian will stay down there, but he will slowly drift backward. To keep yourself from stagnating, you must resolve to keep on growing. Now the apostles have given us a very, very good account and testimony. And it's written in Philippians 3, 14, 13 and 14. And this is the very familiar one, and I believe you all even memorize it. I read it to you. Brethren, I count not myself to be apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul is saying, Paul reckoned that he had not attained perfect knowledge yet. And it is still a long way for him to reach that perfect knowledge. He has been so many years in that office and has so great a knowledge in the mystery of God, and had labored in more abundantly than any others with great success. And Paul, in his humility, he said that, but this one thing I do. What is this thing? He constantly attended to, earnestly pursued. It was the main and principal thing that he set upon, which he engaged himself in, which occupied him day and night with all his thought, all his might, and all his strength. He desired and he labored for this. To do what? To forget those things which are behind, meaning the sins of his past life, which God has already forgiven him. Now, what? He rather labor and work towards those things which are before, to perfection, to the best of knowledge, to holiness, to happiness, which were before him with eagerness, that is, reaching towards the mark. Do we have this desire? If we do, then we are on our way to being more spiritual. Now, besides being spiritual stagnation, There is another cause for the lack of spiritual growth that must be considered. Spiritual deadness. In science, we all learn that one of the signs of life, whether animal or plant life, is growth. When there is life, there is sure growth. One very possible reason that there is no life with him in prayer, whether be alone or corporately. You will have the desire to come early to church to worship him. You will want to be with the saints on a Friday night to pray for one another. And there are many opportunities the church has ministry in the Sunday Bible study, the basic Bible knowledge class, the Agape gathering, even the Westminster Confession, that we can come to learn and grow in Him. Why don't you come and participate? That we all can grow and be not stagnant or dead. That there are many areas also in Sydney BBC where we can serve. But I can see someone who are serving now, someone who is added to our PA system, hopefully. But what about other things? What about manning the library? If you have a desire to come to serve, you can approach any of the deacons or elder corps, and we will definitely find something that is suitable and appropriate for you. Now, in the light of all this, please do not be fooled by your outward form. Do not assume that all is well. Then it is all well. It is dangerous, right, for you to have this kind of living, go on living in self-deception. Search your heart now and make sure that you are truly born again. Apostle Paul said, examine yourself whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own self. Know ye that your own self, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. And after searching, you realize that your heart is not right with God. Submit yourself to God. Come unto Him, repenting of your sin, asking God to forgive you immediately, and ask the Holy Spirit to help you to change and to grow in the Lord daily. Now we have learned heard of the characteristic of the carnal Christian. They are ruled by fleshly desires. They follow the rules of the jungle like animals. And to be different, we must walk in the Spirit, meditating on His Word. Carnal Christians, they have not grown. They are babes in Christ. They are abnormally immature and cause burdens not only to their family, but to the church. Don't be a burden, be a blessing. Babies are most susceptible to this spiritual world. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and they shall show great signs and wonder, in so much that it is, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. And what about the chances of those who do not know the Word of God? In order to glorify God, we must get rid of our humanistic thinking and that stands in opposition with God. We must not assert and promote self as being better, but we should esteem others better than ourselves. And after all, we are laborers in the Lord, and all are unworthy servants. We must not let our guard down, but we must continue to persevere towards the mark. As Paul said, I count not myself to have apprehended. This will cause us not to be stagnant and dead, but to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Examine ourselves once again. I say, examine yourself. Have we been growing, or are we still the same? The very first time when we say the sinner's prayer, it could be some 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago. Do we hate the thing that we once loved and now love the things that are pleasing and glorifying to God? It's important because it concerns what the Lord will say to us, to you, to me, when our journey on this earth ends. Now tell me, which would you like to hear? I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquities. Or you rather hear this from the Lord. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make thee rulers over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. The choice is yours. I cannot make a choice. And if anyone here who is moved by the word, come, repenting, and our Lord will love to hear your prayer. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank Thee for the word that Thou hast preserved for us today, that we can have a fuller understanding of Thy truth, that we need to choose a life, to make a decision whether to be carnal to stay carnal or to grow spiritually, always pleasing and honoring thee in obedience, loving thee with all our hearts, minds, and might, loving others too, as thou hast commanded us. And may the words spoken this morning stir the hearts of thy people to truly examine the condition of the hearts, and not to be deceived by the deception in this present time. For we know that we are living in the last of the last day. We want to please and glorify thee. We want to hear thou saying to us, thou good and faithful servant. And if there is any sin within us, Father, we pray that thou will forgive us. And if there are anyone here who is touched by your word, let him or her come unto thee in repentance and put thee first in their life. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.